The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Let me tell you, folks, it feels good to escape from the iron-fisted despotism that is Canada and return to the ziggurat to play, once again, the answer of the week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. And sitting down the road a little ways from me is Joe Patrick, the other host. Say hello, Joey.
Hello. Welcome home.
What we do here, we ask a question. It goes up on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You can find them by clicking the forum button at twoheadednerd.com. You'll find a subsection that says Question of the Week. We'll also ask it on our other show. I'm not sure which one you like better. I like this one a little better because you guys do all the work. But then you can call us at 402-819-4894 and leave us a 2-minute or less message with your answer. Or you can get real fancy and send us an MP3. If that's not good enough, you got too much to say, write it on the forums before we can get into your answers, though. Joe Patrick is going to reset this question for us. It's what he does. Take it away, Joe.
This week's question came from Elise Wisdom, who wanted to know what nerdy thing, comic, movie, TV show, video game, etc., had a great premise but completely failed in execution. I also take that to mean, like, what project were you really excited for only to be disappointed?
Got it. Failure to launch. Look good on paper, but failure to launch. Let's go. I want to hear your biggest letdown. Demetrius Murray, better known as D.
How's it going, guys? D here, answering your question of the week. And my answer for you, I really wanted to say the XFL, considering football season is going on, and I love me some football.
There was a guy named He Hate Me in the XFL, I remember. I really wanted to say the XFL
because it started out strong and just ended with a just terrible. But my answer for you is going to be Birds of Prey. Just, wow. God, that show. It was so bad. Oh, God, it was just so terrible. Everything about that show was just, ugh. And I watched every single episode. Watched them all. Like, hey, we get to see Harley Quinn in a TV show. But she's not really Harley Quinn. She's Harleen Quinzel the entire time. Oh, hey, you get to see Huntress on a TV show. But she's not Bertinelli. She's the daughter of Bruce Wayne. Like, oh, it's utter universe crap. And there was no real cameos from other superheroes. You didn't get to see Nightwing pop up. You had, like, no Hawkman or whatnot. I know this is, like, way before all, like, the new cool stuff that's on TV now is out. But I really wanted that show to be awesome. I wanted that show to be spec-freaking-tacular. Because I love watching a show with strong female leads in it. And I wanted that show to be badass. And it was not. So, yeah, that's my answer. Birds of Prey.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, the XFL was a football league created by Vince McMahon, owner of the WWF at the time, back in 1999. And it was like extreme football. And they could have like nicknames on the back of their jerseys. And there was a guy that had He Hate Me written on his jersey. It was terrible. But I would posit not as bad as the Birds of Prey TV show. That show was terrible. It was laughably bad. Remember the Huntress had like cat powers? She was like,
yeah, Matt, because she was Catwoman's daughter.
So
duh.
Stupid. Oh my God.
I remember being displeased with the Birds of Prey show, but I never really watched it. I only watched the pilot. How long did it last? It didn't last a full season.
No, it was one full season, and then it got canceled.
No, I don't think they aired all the episodes, though.
Really?
No.
Let's see. Birds of Prey TV Wiki. 13 episodes were produced in total. Yeah, they showed 13 episodes.
Well, 13 were produced, but how many aired?
Well, it was supposed to be 24. That was the thing. So it didn't make the whole season, I guess. Canceled after 13.
I remember being pretty displeased with it, but mainly because of the changes that they made.
Oh,
like
horrible. Horrible. Okay.
Catwoman. Huntress has cat powers.
Helena Kyle was the Huntress.
Well, sure, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that in particular, because in the Golden Age, on Earth 2, the Huntress was the daughter of Bruce Wayne and Catwoman. That was the deal. And so if that's what they wanted to go with, that's fine. But it was dumb that she had cat powers because her mom was Catwoman, super, who does not have powers.
Super stupid.
I can't really speak to it. I have talked to people that enjoyed it a little bit more than Dee did. That if you could just like get past how different it was, that there was something to like there. But I confess, I didn't really give it a chance.
Disagree. I thought it was awful. I watched like four episodes and I went, this sucks bad. It was terrible. Let's get to Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn. He titled his MP3, The New 50 Boo.
I gave him extra points for that.
That's hot. I like it.
Though there are no points in this game.
Nope. There's a right answer and a wrong answer.
What's up, nerds? Anthony from Brooklyn here. And man, I really wanted to talk about something new and different. But like, when I think of horrible executions, I can't help but think about the New 52. This is such a missed opportunity. Like, let me throw some names out at you, okay? Rob Liefeld, Jim Lee, Bob Harris, Scott Lobdell. These are not names that get me excited about comics in 2011, okay? The issue number ones of your superheroes in your brand new universe all contain heroes that have been operating for 5 years already. That doesn't make any sense. You've got this brand new universe that's already convoluted. I can give you examples of where this is irritating, but let's talk about Green Lantern, okay? At the beginning of your new universe, your Green Lanterns are Hal Jordan, Kyle, John, Guy, and Sinestro. Not only that, but you still have the Rainbow Lanterns operating. Guys, fellas, you've already sold your t-shirts, your toys, and your replica rings. Let it go. Wipe it away. Let's start from scratch. And if you really want to celebrate diversity, let's make John Stewart our Green Lantern.
Right,
you know,
on.
John Stewart, the guy who was in the cartoon that the now teenagers used to watch when they were kids. Let's go for it. But the biggest sin for me in how this all rolled out is how do you not celebrate your new DC universe with Action Comics number one, your flagship character? You start with a Justice League comic full of characters that, you know, in your new universe, I don't really know yet. Introduce them as individuals. Let them team up a little bit. And at the end of your first year or so, have your big event because you know you're going to have one. And let's form the new Justice League. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's more, but I don't have time. So, horrible executions. The New 50 Boo. Bye.
Baboosh.
The end.
Anthony, DC, you looking for someone to come in and edit some properties? I feel like Anthony's got some pretty good ideas. Episode issue one, and you opened it, and it's John Stewart standing at Hal Jordan's funeral.
No, this is not what he's talking about.
No, I'm just saying, had they just gone for it? Had they been like...
He's saying start from scratch. You do the thing where you start with John at Hal's funeral, then you're already starting with baggage.
No, you are, but I'm saying you
start from scratch.
I get that, but okay, you could say like a spaceship crashes and John Stewart, you know, discovers Abin Sur or something like that.
Or do something completely different. You don't have to do Hal's origin at all.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm just saying, they could be like, look, this is a new story. Stuff happened before, but this is your Green Lantern. Go. It'd be awesome. Then it pays homage to stuff we care about.
You keep missing the point. They tried to have their cake and eat it too. Instead, they took their cake and they threw it on the ground outside.
Yeah. No, well, they maybe tried to have too much of their cake and eat it too.
No, I stand by my statement. They took their cake and they held it up and they showed it to us and said, hey, look, it's cake. Do you want this cake? And then they threw it on the ground and said, too bad.
Wow.
They tried to serve too many masters.
No,
do
absolutely.
Not try to reboot your universe and then shoehorn in X amount of continuity to appease a bunch of 30 something dudes.
No, you're right. I mean, I agree.
We'll get used to the fact that you're going to reboot. What we won't get used to is the fact that you're going to try to string us along and tell us that some stuff counts, I swear. And then have it ultimately all be for nothing.
Or not even some stuff counts, I swear. We'll let you know what counts as we go on. We're not really sure yet.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, did Superman die? And they went, Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, when? Totally did. Like, when did that happen? Let's get to Randy Andrews.
But my real quick, I think that Anthony is dead on in his opinion.
No,
they should have
I totally agree.
Said reboot, boom, number one, go.
Yeah, if you're doing
and said this is how it is now. We'll see you guys later. Come along for the ride or don't.
Yeah, if you're doing new universe, new world, then do it or don't. Randy Andrews.
Greetings, Joe and Matt.
Greetings,
this is Randy.
Randy
Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week you asked, what nerdy thing had a great premise but completely failed on the execution? Well, guys, there was a movie made fairly recently called John Carter. Perhaps you've heard of it. Yes, Disney made this movie, and when I watched the trailers, it provided me with this gleeful excitement for the film. Yay, they are doing a proper film based on Edgar Rice Burroughs' novels in regard to John Carter of Mars. Well, with the excitement built through trailers, I went to see the film. Man, was I disappointed. Not only did they butcher the story, but also said, hey, let's just make our own story. Same characters, different plot, and different ways of doing it. Ruined it for me completely. I will continue to go back to the books because they are the best. Rant done. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is from that film, John Carter. Which, by the way, sometimes getting the soundtrack is even better. It's called Get Carter by Michael Giacchino. See you guys in a week. Bye for now.
I gotta say, I disagree. I really enjoyed John Carter. I thought that movie was great. Casey went and saw
it
with me.
Too.
She really liked it too. Now, I don't maybe have the same connection to the original. Like, I'm aware of John Carter and the story and stuff like that, but I've never read it. I don't know much about it. Maybe they did change a lot of stuff. I don't really know, but I did like the movie.
Yeah, I can't really speak to its faithfulness or how closely they adapted the book, but correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Wooly Toots even like that movie?
He loved it. Yeah, he thought it was great. And I think he's pretty tight with that stuff, too.
Well, I don't know nobody that's a bigger John Carter fan than Wooly Toots.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I can't.
Sorry, Randy. Outvoted.
Sorry, Randy. You're wrong. Nice talking to you, though. So it's cruel here in the answer of the week. That's how it works. It's
how you do it.
It's a jungle. Survival of the fittest. Let's get to the woman who came up with this damn question that's got everybody so upset. Elise Wisdom. She is, quote, ragefully disappointed.
Hello, nerds. It's your favorite Shiksa, Elise Wisdom, here to answer my own question this week. I came up with this question when I found myself remembering this movie I saw about 5 years ago called Daybreakers, starring Ethan Hawke, Sam Neill, and Willem Dafoe. And then I remembered how mad I was about it and realized that I'm still pretty mad about it. The premise of this movie is that everyone in the world is a vampire. The vampires won, there are no more humans except Matrix-esque ones being farmed for their blood, and there's a food shortage. Ethan Hawke is a hematologist who's trying to create a synthetic blood substitute so they don't starve and turn into horrifying bat monsters. Cool, right? And it is cool. The world is slick and modern, the color schemes are all black, white, and blues, the lighting is artificial and really makes the whites pop, everyone looks shiny and well put together like dystopian future vampire madmen, but it's all a veneer masking the creatures they really are deep down, a veneer that cracks and falls apart in my favorite scene where there's a limit on how much blood you can have in your coffee, and a riot breaks out, spilling blood everywhere, and these people in their clean, crisp suits and white uniforms start screeching and licking the blood off the walls and floor before a SWAT team shows up and tasers them. It was awesome. But then it turns out there's a merry band of human survivors led by Willem Dafoe with a horrible southern accent. They've come to cure Ethan Hawke of his vampirism with baptism by fire and take back the earth. There's a girl for Ethan Hawke to fall in love with, because of course there is. And it's boring to me. This movie could have done something truly unique. It could have said something. I wanted to see more of the vampire world. I wanted to see them science the shit out of a cure and have it go horribly wrong. I wanted to see an interesting twist on a political socioeconomic allegory with vampires. I don't care about the ragtag humans in their natural lit world where everything looks brown and shit because we've seen that already. And if I want to watch a happy ending underdog story, I'll watch Rudy. And speaking of football, Matt, Even though I'm not a dominatrix, that sure didn't stop me from dominating your team last week. Boom! Suck it!
Oh, please. To be fair, I had one injury and Peyton Manning was not Peyton Manning that week. But regardless, she's right. Daybreakers started off really cool. And it's one of those movies where I feel like somebody came in and went, who are these people going to relate to? It's all vampires and stuff. We've got to do something. We're like, all right, how about we add in some humans? And it just changed course because it really was cool at first. I liked that movie and it just wandered off. It didn't even end poorly. It just wandered off and it was so bad. Ugh.
Never saw it.
Wasted opportunity.
At least raises some great points.
It also brings up the fact that Willem Dafoe is, I feel like, considered a pretty talented actor, right?
I think so, yeah.
That guy has made a bunch of movies. Like, really bad movies.
Oh, well, yeah.
Bad choices, bad roles.
So is Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, but I don't think people consider Samuel Jackson as, like, a great actor. I think Samuel Jackson's a good character actor. People like him. Whatever, you know.
I think Samuel L. Jackson is probably on the same level of respect as Willem Dafoe.
I disagree, man. I don't know. I feel like Willem Dafoe did a bunch more, like, really cutting-edge stuff.
New question of the week. Samuel L. Jackson, as good as Willem Dafoe or not?
No, we're going to post it on the forums. We're going to post it. Go in there. It'll be, you pick yes or no. We're going to do a poll question. Go to the forums. Samuel Jackson, considered a great actor? Yes or no? Forget William Dafoe. Is he considered one of the greats? Samuel Jackson. And not like, do you consider him great? Like, I mean, like, is he widely respected? I'll put the poll up. It'll be awesome.
Well, Matt, they can't speak for other people. They can only speak to their own tastes.
No, but I'm saying they can say, well, yeah, the guy's, you know, been up for Oscars, a bit in this movie, they can judge it on that. Or they can be like, ugh. I don't know. That dude made that Formula 51 movie where he made the pills that were 51 times more powerful than marijuana, heroin, and cocaine put together.
Yeah, and he wore a kilt.
It was so dope. Yeah, he was Scottish.
That's because Samuel L. Jackson just loves to work.
I think it's true. I think you're like, Samuel, we got a role for you. He's like, I'll take it. I'm like, do you want to hear about it? Nope. I'm in.
Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
He also did the remake of Shaft. Oh, that was horrible.
I like to call it Shaft 2000.
Let's go to Black Scorpion the 3.
So what didn't deliver? I had Lord Stevens' problem of not being able to whittle down botched stories as I was muddling through Mark Millar and Grant Morrison and pick a crossover debacle. I remembered what my answer would be. Based on the vivid memory I have of going to see a movie based solely on a premise that was too good to go wrong. Here's a question for you. How was it that before 2003, we didn't have a story about werewolves versus vampires? That's right, my answer is the movie Underworld. Take two classic horror archetypes, put them at war with each other. It's simple. Although I knew it likely wouldn't be a quality film, it's a hard idea to screw up. Take some vampires, take some werewolves, have them fight it out. Maybe there's a plot, maybe there's not. I'm talking low expectations. Because frankly, I just wanted to see a battle like that play out that hadn't been done before. So I went to the theater, and wow, how do you botch that idea? How about if you take vampires, you know, creatures of the night, they can't be in daylight, they fly, maybe they hypnotize, they mist, whatever. You know, make them walk around in daylight. They never drink blood, they never fly, they never mist, nothing. It's the same with werewolves. We've got uncontrollable beast men that will tear you to shreds, right? Nope, these guys don't turn into wolfmen. The whole movie instead involves people who are allegedly vampires and werewolves, walking around in daylight and shooting at each other with machine guns. Now, this makes sense to shoot werewolves with silver bullets, right? But vampires? Well, you see, they explain that. They had bullets that contain fragments of intense light in them. What? So they had their version of midichlorians, too, by the way. Vampires and werewolves, they weren't supernatural creatures, but they're the product of some virus. So come on, talk about bailing on the simplest premise. They took two classic, established supernatural entities and decided to just make a Matrix-style shootout instead. Boo, Underworld, and boo the fact that they're on their fifth Underworld movie right now. Ugh. So that's my answer. Till next time, nerds.
He's right. There's an Underworld 5 coming in 2016.
Can't wait.
Oh my god, those movies sucked.
Whatever, dude. I love Underworld.
No, you do not. They're so bad.
Do. Nope.
Underworld, the Next Generation is coming in 2016.
No, I haven't watched any of the recent ones. I haven't seen them past like
Underworld. We ran out of titles in 2016.
But I like the first two Underworld movies.
No, no, no. They were horrible. And he's right, like, the light bullets? What the hell is that? Come
it's
on.
It's cool. Why it's not? Just cool action, fun fantasy
Put
stuff.
Put holy water in the bullets. I get that. Or bless them or something. You know, come on.
They
so
explode with
dumb.
Light. It's neat.
Stupid. Let's go to our newest love slave, the Orca.
Hello, nerds. The Orca says the second and third Matrix movies. How can you f*** up that bad? I guess the end was cool, sorta the very end. But by that time, I was just mad that they didn't cast George Carlin as the architect. That would have been great. Get Napoleon involved, Socrates. Side note, did you all know that the little s*** that played Bill is now a very successful, serious director for documentaries? Who knew that guy was smart? Anyway, how can the two Wachowskis make something so prolific? Choose Keanu to star in it. Somehow totally nail that casting decision while we were all groaning. Then somehow botch the two sequels that bad. Twin albino Rastafarians? Lay off the dope once in a while. And that's coming from a guy who can whittle a bowl out of a potato. That's it for me, nerds. I'm off to my new job. Using bronzer to paint faux boobies on contestants for The Bachelor TV show. See? The Orca lands on his feet. Kiss, kiss.
Congratulations on your new job, sir. I really like how he crossed a little Bill and Ted with the Matrix there. That was cool. And he's right. We all got excited when The Matrix 2 hit the theaters. We're like, this is going to be awesome. And everybody walked out going, what was that? Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, those were bad.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I guess there's the whole lightning in a bottle thing. And to be fair, maybe they wrote this as this huge sci-fi epic between what? I mean, I'm not even really sure how it ended. Was the black chick like God?
Because you mean,
like,
the Oracle?
Yeah, like, because she met with like the main machine person in the end. They're like, we're going to do this again. You know, I know we always do. Doo-doo-doo. Like what?
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about.
What was going on there in the very end of the third one?
You don't mean the Oracle, like the there is no spoon lady.
Yes. She's in the very end and she's alive and she's talking with the machine guy about how like this the architect guy about how this happens over and over and over again. This is what we do. And he's like, well, I'll be there to write my program, whatever. And she's like, and I'll be there to fight you or something. What was even going on?
It's not important.
It's not even worth going into. It was just bad. Stephen Fino, get us off this damn Matrix train.
Hello again. This is Lord Stephen, Master of Coin, sending in my answer to the question of the week. This question took me a long time to settle on a specific answer, but I finally got to it. A ways back, I sent in an answer about my love of Mark Waid's Irredeemable, a comic which shows a Superman-like character who snaps under a pressure that comes along with his powers and becomes the greatest villain that world has ever seen. Now, what would happen if you took that basic plot point of a great hero becoming a villain and use it for a different DC superhero, say Batman, and twist him into a character that uses his wealth, intellect, and training to do evil rather than good? Well, then you end up with Mark Millar's Nemesis. This comic is essentially all the things I don't like about Batman stories rolled into one. The antagonist is so good at planning that he manages to know what will happen 20 years before the events of the story, despite the fact that his plot involves characters who would not be alive when he started planning. From the very beginning, to the incest fetus rigged with explosives, to the final page of the series, is just so incredibly tedious and waste what should have been an interesting comic. So, Mark Millar's Nemesis, my answer for worst execution of a good idea. See ya.
Okay, in defense of Nemesis.
Okay.
Because I liked Nemesis. It was fun. But isn't that kind of what he was doing? Was basically telling, like, the ultimate, most ridiculous bat story that could be told. I mean, it seemed pretty self-aware to me. It got so ridiculous.
I think you're giving Mark Miller a lot of credit.
Am I giving him too much credit?
Not that I don't think he's capable of thinking of it, but I don't think that's how he operates. I think he's made his entire career of pandering to the base. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Here's buzzword plus buzzword equals buzzword squared. That's Mark Millar. That's Mark Miller. That's every comic he's ever made since, like, Wanted.
That's fair.
No, it's Shazam, but he gets his powers from the devil.
I just thought, okay. I guess I thought that's what he was doing. He was aware of it, and that's what he was doing.
Oh, he's aware of it, but I don't think he incorporates that awareness into the work.
Okay. I mean,
I think
felt
it's
like he
much
was.
More cynical than that.
Oh, I think that's part of it. It's like, and then you want to know how stupid this gets? This is how dumb it gets. There's an incest baby rigged with explosives. Eat it, nerds, you know?
We should have all learned our lesson from the last panel of Wanted.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely...
Where the
that
main
was,
character of Wanted looks up at us and tells us how stupid we are for wasting our time reading that crap.
Yeah.
More or less.
I mean, that is what happened. I did like Wanted, and then we got to the last page, and I went, well, that's a weird way to end that, but okay.
Yeah. Where Mark Miller showed how much contempt he really has for his own audience. This is from somebody who has liked Mark Miller's work here and there.
Yeah, I've liked a lot of it.
But I tend to like it more when it's adapted into film. Subtracting the whole, like, loom that tells the future, I thought that the Wanted movie was way better than the Wanted comic.
No, I agree with that. And I even thought that The Kingsman was way better than The Secret Service.
I never finished the Secret Service comic, but I love Kingsman, the movie.
The Secret Service comic was good, and it was fun. The movie was far superior. It just was. It was better. There's no way.
I think the Kick-Ass movie is better than Kick-Ass the comic.
I think the first one, yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen Kick-Ass 2, but...
It sucked. Kick-Ass 2 is not good.
The first Kick-Ass movie, I thought, was better than the first Kick-Ass comic.
There are parts of it that I think were better. They left out some key things that I wish would have been in the film. Regardless, I can see where Stephen Fino is coming from. And now...
Oh, absolutely.
We got to get to Jesse Kiefer. Love when this guy calls.
Hey, two-headed nerd. It's Jesse again from GrawlixPodcast.com. I'm sending in my answer of the week. So, what thing should have been awesome, but was instead super disappointing? Guys, I love time travel. I even liked Hot Tub Time Machine. So, it's pretty hard to disappoint me in this category.
It's because it's a great movie.
However, there is a disappointing time travel tale that has been stuck in my craw since 2003. It's a movie based on a book written by Mr. Jurassic Park himself, Michael Crichton. I'm talking about the movie Timeline. Now, in the book, we get a technical and trippy time travel method that's fully explained in the Crichton way, and it's pretty believable. I mean, at least as believable as dinosaurs in a park. In the story, we get a bunch of history expert students that travel back in time to a war-torn 14th century France to go on a time-traveling rescue mission to find their professor. It's a knight in shining armor race against the clock. And guess what? It was awesome. And then they made a movie out of it, where they cast the Fast and the Furious star Paul Walker as
R.I.P.
history dork.
How dare you,
I'll
sir.
I'll cut to the chase. They changed or ruined pretty much everything that was great about the book. Characters were changed, they glazed over the time travel science, and the acting was just bad. If you look it up on Rotten Tomatoes, you're going to find it with movies like Batman and Robin and the new Fantastic Four movie. So, yeah, it's that bad. But the point is, it shouldn't have been. It should have been incredible. Now, obviously, the book usually is better than the movie, but in this case, the movie is so carelessly made, it actually ruined some of my fondness for the book. So, if you excuse me, now I'm going to go repress the memory of that film so that I can go ahead and continue enjoying that book. All right, thanks, guys.
That book was awesome. I read it, too. He's right. It was a fantastic book, and I remember when the movie came out, I was like, Paul Walker and Gerard Butler. Really?
Like, oh. Gerard Butler?
Oh, yeah, he's in there.
Was that like the first thing we saw Gerard Butler in?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. Let's see. Let's scroll back. Let's go back in time with our boy Gerard Butler. No, he was in Dracula 2000. He was in Reign of Fire.
Oh, he was in Reign of Fire? I've never seen Reign of Fire.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Cradle of Life. Reign of Fire was awesome, man.
That's the dragon movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was in a bunch of movies before that. Yeah, that was a... I didn't see that movie. I heard it was terrible, and I heard it's one of the worst. I did love that book, though. Excellent book. And one of those books that was so technical with time travel and the way it worked that there was just almost no way they could get it right in the film. And this was 2003, mind you, when Paul Walker was still coming up. A young, spry Paul Walker.
He played leading seaman in Tomorrow Never Dies. Gerard Butler, that is.
Oh, boy.
I literally have no memory of Gerard Butler prior to the movie 300.
Okay. Well, I don't think he had like major roles before that. I bet that was probably his first like starring role. That wouldn't surprise me.
I probably remember him. If I had seen Reign of Fire, I'd know who he was.
Yeah, he was around. No, because everybody looked the same in Reign of Fire. You had like McConaughey and Christian Bale, and they were basically the same person. It was scary how much they looked alike. And like, and in retrospect, like thinking of that movie, I can't tell you which character was which. They're interchangeable in my mind.
He played the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera movie from 2004.
Gerard Butler sucks, and I'm allergic to him, I'm pretty sure. Tim Benson, guess where he's going with this one?
Back hey, Twitter nerd, Tim Benson here, TV Rambling on Twitter. Thanks for the plug last week. Thing I'm most disappointed for, Shadowland. Sorry, I gotta go back to Daredevil here. He finally, after like, I don't know, a ton of years, gets to be the focus of a Marvel event. And it was kind of a sub event, but still, Shadowland, awesome, right? And it sucked. I'm sorry. I wish I could say it was better. The premise was amazing, and there were some great parts to it, you know, but as a total story and event execution, it wasn't very good. And it's disappointing because probably never going to see a Daredevil event again. But what do you do? Thanks.
Shadowland was Andy Diggle, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think so, yes.
It was Andy Diggle. Yeah, and Daredevil, like, while we read it, like, well, this isn't bad, but Daredevil just murdered a bunch of people.
No, he murders one person.
Oh, was it just one person? Oh, that's right, that's right. But then he starts leading the hand or whatever.
Well, that's because he gets possessed by a demon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ugh, that was bad.
Yeah, no, Shadowland is not good.
It was bad.
It's not good.
It was bad.
But, silver lining... It did immediately precede the Mark Waid Daredevil relaunch.
This is true. This is true. I think it was the kind of thing where they're like, well, we screwed Daredevil up so bad, we're going to have to call Mark Waid to fix it.
It was rough, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. John Luttrell, this guy's going to be pissed. You know he is.
Final call.
This is our final call? Take it away. Yeah. Take it away, Johnny.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about a movie. It came out in 2002. This movie was directed by Rob Bowman, who did episodes, in fact, a lot of episodes of Star Trek Next Generation and X-Files, so I was banking on it being pretty good. A few years later, after this movie came out, he also did Elektra, so maybe I shouldn't have trusted this man so much. So the movie that I'm talking about starred Matthew all right, McConaughey and Christian Don't Just Stare
oh, no.
at it,
oh,
eat
my
it,
God.
Bale. It had plenty of other badass people in it. I'm really into post-apocalyptic tales.
He's talking about Reign of Fire.
Love dragons. And yep. To have them in like a modern setting, I was so excited. Of course, I'm talking about the crap fest that was Reign of Fire 2002. I was going into that movie hoping to see both a mixture of character piece with intriguing and compelling characters. Matthew McConaughey looked like a badass. And I will give... this disclaimer of I have not seen it since opening weekend of 2002 when the movie came out. I will give it a rewatch. I think I'm going to do it here very soon to see if I still feel the same way. I didn't even have any horrible expectations from it. I didn't want to see like dragons fighting an F-16 plane. Like if that happened, badass. Like that would have been great. But I was thinking, and I was rightfully so, as it followed along after the fall of man, you know, and they, you know, they still had trucks to fight it and machine guns and big mounted guns and stuff like that. But like the majority of advanced warfare technology and stuff had fallen. And that thing let me down so hard. So I'm going to give it another shot. Hopefully I was wrong and I've maybe changed my opinion. Now, things I have changed my opinion on, like ID4, loving it, seeing it on a Friday, and then seeing it again on Sunday. After that second viewing, I'd rather have a glass tube broken inside of my pink butt sleeve instead of going to see that thing again. And Jonah Hex,
Independence Day?
The f***, guys. Seriously.
Independence Day was bad, Joe. It was bad. It was it was really bad.
Independence Day is not a bad movie.
Okay.
Sorry. Whoa. Stop. I misspoke. Independence Day is not a good movie. I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
But right. It is so much fun.
No, it was bad.
Yes.
It was
how
bad.
How can you deny that?
So much of that.
How can you
so
deny that?
So much bad. Everything from the president getting an F-16 to go fight and like they beat the aliens with a computer virus? Really?
Because it was 1993 or whatever.
Which is why our computer shouldn't even been able to talk to theirs. Go get your computer from 1993 and try and plug it into the internet now. See what happens. Nothing.
Right? Hey, they were geniuses, Matt. They figured it out.
Yeah, they were. But let's get back to Reign of Fire. There were things...
I want to talk about Independence Day for a second.
There were things about Reign of Fire.
Bill Pullman gets into that... gets on that truck and he makes that speech, and if you don't cry a little, you're dead inside.
Shut up. Reign of Fire had some things that I liked.
When Will Smith punches that alien, he's like, welcome to Earth.
You stop. When Randy Quaid, who flies a crop duster, gets in an F-16, it's like, I know what I'm doing. No problem.
They're desperate, Matt. He's a pilot. They're desperate. And he saves humanity.
Oh, shut up. I'm not arguing this anymore. There were things about Reign of Fire that I liked. The characters look cool. I liked the way the world looked. I liked how desperate it was. And the dragons were pretty cool. But the way they killed the dragons was the dumbest thing you could possibly think of. It was like, all right, there's one way to kill these dragons. And it involves almost all of us dying and free falling out of a plane. it was tantamount to what they did in Fast 7, where they're like, all right, we got to go hit this drop. But, you know, instead of just parachuting in and landing on the truck and, you know, hijacking it, we want to put cars on parachutes. And they just went, all right, well, you guys sound like you know what you're talking about. Do it. Now, the only difference was that was awesome. This was not.
That alien takes over Brent Spiner and uses him like a puppet, and you're like, Data, no.
I'm done with you. Favorite call. Who is your favorite call?
Anthony from Brooklyn is my favorite call.
Anthony, I think I agree with the most, and I think he had the best point. I'm going to go with John, just because I can't believe Reign of Fire came up twice, completely independently. That is like, you know, that could be fate or kismet. Atheists like me, we have trouble with stuff like that, but I mean, this looks like evidence to me. I don't know. That was beautiful. Joe Patrick, I want to hear about your biggest geeky letdown.
I don't believe anyone that tells me that they did not have at least a little bit of fun watching Independence Day. And that's my final word on this subject.
Oh, God.
I didn't even really have to think about it for this one. My answer is Mark Waid's return to the Flash. He had an 8-year run celebrated, heralded as one of the best comic book runs of all time on a character. Geoff Johns takes over, has another great run. And then after that, for a little while, the book kind of languishes. It goes away for a while. They have a very ill-advised attempt at aging Kid Flash and making him the new Flash.
Oh, I remember that. That was awful.
And it was so bad that they just were like, okay, we killed him. Kill him.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
We kill him and bring Wally back. And that was the return of Mark Waid to the Flash. And I thought, my favorite writer is going to come back and make everything okay again with my favorite character. It's going to be great. And it was 100% not great. It's not good.
I don't even remember it. I read it. I don't even remember it.
Oh, because he introduces the kids.
Oh, God. Now I do the twins. Oh.
The kids were born during Geoff Johns' run, but at this point they were like toddlers. and he gave him superpowers, and they were on a horse dog alien planet for some reason. Yeah. And that's where they had been like living for 5 years. It went away again after a very short return by Mark Waid. And then Geoff Johns came back once again when they brought back Barry Allen. Like, that was the last Wally West.
Yeah.
The last real Wally West push we got before they just said, we're bringing back Barry.
Just out with a whimper.
And I was so disappointed because I love Mark Waid so much and I love Wally West so much.
And I wonder how much of that was editorial or something, you know, or was that really just Mark Waid going, this is what I want to try this.
Now, I think Mark Waid has gone on the record as saying, like, I thought I knew what the fans were going to respond to, and I was wrong.
Well, fair enough.
Like, he took responsibility saying, you know, I thought this was a good story. I thought it was going to resonate, and it just didn't.
Fair enough.
And that happens to every writer. It's not like I still love Mark Waid. And maybe if I revisit it, it's not as bad as I recall.
No,
but
no, it's
no,
terrible.
I'm saying like removed from the anticipation, I can probably find things to like about it.
Mm.
But in that moment, it was such a crushing disappointment.
Yeah, that was bad. I recall now. All right, well, I'm going to a movie. When we were kids, well, when I was a kid, I'm older than most of you. When I was a kid, I went and saw one of the most impressive feats of cinema and computer-generated graphics I have ever seen. And that movie was Tron. Tron blew me away as a kid. One of my favorite sci-fi films. And I was so excited when I heard that Tron Legacy was coming in 2010. And then when we started to see images of what Tron Legacy was going to be, where they had like the de-aged Jeff Bridges, old Jeff Bridges, like side by side, like old Jeff Bridges disappeared in the machine. It was like, screw it. I'm going to be here. I'm the new like master control unit and I'm going to build the universe. And young Jeff Bridges was still running around. Oh, no, Clue. That was his name in the new movie. He was Clue, C-L-U. Terrible. And then we heard that Daft Punk was doing the music and like there was that kick ass buildup and we saw it like with the, they're like approaching, you know, Tron world. It looked so cool. And then I saw the movie and it was so intensely stupid and got so far away from what I loved about Tron. I mean, they just like went so bizarre with it and they even brought like Bruce Boxleitner back and everything. But then they got into like Michael Sheen was in there as like this game show host guy that dressed like David Bowie. He was like a gay computer program or something that ran like a computer program nightclub. And like they just started doing crap to do it.
I never saw Tron Legacy.
And then in the end, where Olivia Wilde is like the love, she becomes the love interest for the son of Jeff Bridges, who's trying to figure out what happened to his dad, who was so forgetful. I can't even remember who. Garrett Hedlund is the guy that played him. He's in Unbroken. He was in Unbroken recently in 2014, but hasn't done much.
Yeah, he was from like Friday Night Lights and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so the guy that directed Tron Legacy was Joseph Kosinski. The only other film he directed was Oblivion, Tom Cruise's Oblivion.
I like Oblivion.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That movie went absolutely nowhere. It went nowhere.
What are you talking about?
That movie was so boring. Oh, I couldn't.
No, I liked it.
I didn't give a shit about it. And I did not give a shit about Tron Legacy. And when Olivia Wilde, the computer program, comes out of the computer in the end to run away with Sam's son, what the hell is that? It made a person? It doesn't make any sense. It was like so stylish and cool looking, but there was no story. The plot was awful and it got so far away from what I loved about Tron. I hated it. It was a complete failure. And I still own it on DVD in case I ever want to watch it again for some reason. I don't know. Oh, we screamed, we yelled, we felt our feelings. This was fun as hell, but now it's time for the new question of the week. Joey, what are we asking this week?
Our current question is from forum user Molenweik, who wants to know, Who's your favorite fictional time traveler?
Straight and to the point. I love it.
That's simple.
And I'm saying, let's go out of the box. You want to go Doctor Who? That's fine. But let's think out of the box. What do you say? You know, let's not all answer Doctor Who. I promise I won't. Joe, you promise?
But, yes. Doctor Who is not my answer.
Okay. We're taking him off the board for us. There you go. I dare you.
I don't think that Doctor Who is the most obvious answer to our audience.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. But it's probably fairly obvious. I want to hear from some new callers. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. I want to hear from you. Okay? Who's your favorite time travel? Hit us up. When do they have to hit us by, Joe?
It's okay if your answer is Doctor Who.
I suppose that's true. I'm just saying.
You know, until Friday, September 25th, which, if you're listening to this on Thursday, that's tomorrow.
You better get your butt in gear. Unless you are a time traveler, then go back in time. Answer whenever you like. Huh? And this is an open invitation to actual time travelers to contact us. If you're out there, contact us. All right? And we'll prove that you actually exist. It'll be kick-ass.
You know what? I'd rather not. I don't want to know anything.
Don't be a coward.
I don't want to see any secret truths.
We will have another episode of the Two-Headed
Ignorance
Nerd
is Bliss.
Of a podcast hitting this weekend. Thank you, everyone that called. Screw you to everybody that didn't call. Come on. Man up, woman up, give us a holler. We want to hear from you. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
I can tell you, without a doubt, this worthless show is my biggest disappointment. How long have these idiots been doing this now? 4 years and they still aren't making any money. Bravo, losers. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.
Welcome to Earth.